listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live, coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas, 200-200 Fox Sports radio stations nationwide. It's Wednesday. Wait, it's Thursday. Yep. It's Thursday. Thursday night football preview. Also, joined in studio, one of the pros who know, Brad Powers. He is the guy with all the college knowledge. You know, there's other ways to say that, Brad, but none of them's quite as catchy.
Oh, that's very catchy.
There's a little internal rhyme in there.
Yes.
All the college knowledge. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. Now, you can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start here on Straight Outta Vegas in the NFL. The big news that came out earlier today as Jets head coach Adam Gase announced that Sam Darnold, starting quarterback for the Jets, is out for Monday night's game against the Browns and also for several more weeks after Gase announced that Darnold has mono. So now we see a big line change in the Monday night game against the Cleveland Browns. The Jets are without their starting quarterback.
And I tell you, I was a little concerned about Colin Cowherd's mental health. I mean, you think about it, with Baker versus Sam Darnold, right? The nemesis on one hand, Baker Mayfield for Colin right here on Fox Sports Radio. On the other hand, his man crush, some would say. I'm not going to say it. I'm just repeating. I'm not saying Jonas said it, but Sam Darnold, it just seems like an irrational exuberance of affection. And I was just on New York radio like a half hour ago, and I was asking those guys. I said, amongst the quarterbacks who are 30 or less or younger, so that means the newer generation. Now, why would the newer generation really matter? Right, as opposed to Eli Manning or Tom Brady. It's because, and Brad, you can speak to this, football has become a year-round sport in so many more places. And it used to be that in Florida. And for a long time in the 90s, Miami of Florida, right? Great. In the 80s too, right? Florida State, Bobby Bowden, great. Other Florida, or Florida with Spurrier, right?
Yep.
Great. Why wouldn't all these Florida schools do so well? And now, relatively, let me think, Florida State, Florida, yeah. Right? I mean, what's the difference? Miami or Florida? I mean, has any of them been even in the last 3 years, like a top 10 school?
No.
So think about that. All three top 10 every year.
Florida maybe at the end of last year, but they still lost three games.
Yeah, so if you lost three, are you top 10? No.
Yeah.
I had SEC love. Forget that, right? All right. So now here's the question. Why? Because then in the 90s in Florida, where they would be recruiting the high school kids the best, somewhat in Georgia, the idea was football year-round, 7-on-7 in the spring, almost like you hear about in Brazil with soccer balls, right? You see the kids, and they got a soccer ball. They're kicking it. It's like an extension of their foot. In America, you don't see that. So the soccer players just are not as instinctive. It's just not the same. And as that year-round football has spread, now you have Pennsylvania, Ohio, Texas, California, all the hotbeds of recruiting. The quarterbacks are coming out so much more polished.
Yep.
And then you think about so much passing, right? Imagine you played for Joe Paterno in 1988, how much did you pass, right?
15 times a game, maybe.
So it's like anything else, right? If you do it triple as much and you do it all year round as opposed to one-third as much and only in this little portion of the season, quarterbacks are coming into college football and the NFL with a different level of expertise. Now look at USC. What happened? Tell the story quickly. Quarterback got hurt, who was a younger quarterback.
Yep.
Plug and play.
JT Daniels, true sophomore, gets hurt. They go to a true freshman, Keaton Slovis. Only a three-star recruit, not a prohibitive like five-star guy. Comes in, USC, no problem, 45 points against Stanford.
Okay. Now, we don't know how it's all going to turn out. He might be not quite as good as the sophomore. But when in the past, in freshman quarterbacks in general this year, that's one of your takeaways of what you've learned early this season.
So there's been four true freshman quarterbacks that have started two games so far this season. Those quarterbacks combined record 8-0 right now, RJ.
And usually kind of a default bet is fade the freshman quarterback. Why? Because people was excited about his potential.
Exactly.
But he's not there yet.
Yep.
All right, so what does this all mean? Let's look at these under 30 quarterbacks and ask ourselves, amongst the good ones, who wasn't good their first year in the league? So Deshaun Watson,
Injury, yep.
Mighty good his first year in the league, right? So if we go down the list, you know, I'd be interested. Now, Jared Goff is going to be the exception, and we can say he's the one, and thus it still proves my point. Or we could even go further and say Jeff Fisher, a inordinately bad offensive coach, it would seem, in the modern era. He might have been okay 15 years ago. It seems like Jared Goff, it wasn't about his growth as much as about the fact that the coaching maybe was prehistoric. But even if you accept Goff as the exception, to me, all this talk about Sam Darnold one day is going to be great. I look at the numbers. Does anyone jump out at you?
No, all of them had good like rookie seasons.
Better than Sam Darnold.
Yes.
So what we're saying here is that other than Jared Goff, that every quarterback today under 30 that's any good had a better rookie season than Sam Darnold. Have we heard that discussion?
No. The one discussion that's been had is that there, of all the quarterbacks taken in the first round, the only one that you can label a quote-unquote bust would be Paxton Lynch. He's the only guy that hasn't worked out for sure. There are others.
Which
that,
you're saying in recent years, yes. The percentage of hits in the first round has gone up, which seems to feed into a great point about these quarterbacks coming out more prepared.
More developed, and also NFL teams being more open to bringing in a college concept to try and work with the quarterback and what he had success with.
That's a good point, too. Though, I just wonder, again, it's so sophisticated. We'll see what Arizona is able to do. But, Brad, you understand, again, we don't try to act like we're X's and O's guys, right? Because even though we know a decent amount, there's people that know 10 times as much.
Yep.
When you look at the offenses in the NFL, not saying there's not college concepts where they like that Chip Kelly did this at Oregon, so they're going to put this guy in motion, but where a significant percentage of their plays, even 30 or 40%, look like college plays. Is that really, what teams is that the case with obviously Arizona maybe the exception now?
And Baltimore, you know, adjusted their defense.
Their
offense, yeah.
You're saying they look like a college team from the 80s.
We're
talking about a modern kind of air raid type offense.
No, I don't even think it's 30%.
So I agree there's more passing, there's more space, speed, but I think that just the idea of the quarterback getting hurt. When I talk to people who say, why do these things work in college and not the pros? It's that the linemen are so fast in the NFL and they're so strong that they literally are faster than the quarterback oftentimes and they're stronger than the quarterback. Well, that's a bad combination, right? If you're trying, in college, the quarterbacks that are running quarterbacks are oftentimes just as big as the linebackers and they're faster. Right. And the linemen are bigger, but they can't catch them. Right. So these freaks that are 4.45 and 290 is why, in my opinion, you don't see as many college concepts, but I agree with Jonas. It's more open. And if we just look at openness as wing the ball around, college and pro is more like it used to be.
Agree.
So again, if someone disagrees, tweet me at RJ in Vegas, but do it with facts. Right, we always make the joke, chocolate, vanilla. You can keep saying chocolate, I'll keep saying vanilla. It doesn't really tell us anything. Give me why Sam Darnold isn't, other than Jared Goff, worse, or he was worse in his rookie season than any current quarterback who is now good, which means if Sam Darnold becomes good, it will be a rarity. It will be something that hasn't happened very much, if at all, if we do make the... And again, I think it's unfair. That's a Fezzik move. Well, don't count him. The wind was blowing. So let's just say Jared Goff is the exception. But boy, it's one of how many, right? And to me, this idea that it's almost certain he's going to be mighty good doesn't make a ton of sense. So I'm kind of... Count me as a skeptic. I did... And I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. I can't lie, Jonas, you might like this. I did text Colin Cowherd, and I said, listen, I think this mono, he's going to be fine. But, and I also think, just to make you feel better about things, I said, I think once he gets his braces off, he's going to get a date to the prom. So yeah. The mono and the prom, I think it's all fine. But here's the thing, and it all comes to this. What does Vegas think? So if you just look at the simple math, and do you have that math?
Yep, I do.
And then I'm going to tell you that Steve Fezzik, and he and I talked at length today about this, disagrees with Vegas. So let's see what the market said.
The market moved 4 points in the Jets game. So Cleveland, their opponent, the Jets' opponent on Monday night, was a 2.5-point road favorite. And now, after the Darnold news today, Cleveland's now a 6.5-point favorite, 4-point move.
Okay, so... Remember, always in football, you got to think about the key numbers and all that. So since there's not a lot of key numbers going through there. Oh, give me the numbers again.
2.5 to 6.5.
So it went through 3. Okay. Yeah. So that's a big move.
Yep.
So that's saying 4 points at minimum. Fezzik texted me right when the news came out, and he said, Darnold, 2 points. Now you might say, huh, Fez is wrong. Maybe. Maybe not. The definition of a bet is you saying the line is wrong. Think about it.
Yep.
Imagine you say, I want to bet the home team laying 3. What do you think the line should be? 3. Well, why are you betting it? Yeah. Right? You're saying the line should be 4, 5, whatever. So Fezzik being willing to disagree with the market and being right more times than he's wrong is why he has a mansion and a yacht. So in general, in any given situation, I'm always more comfortable with the market. But if Fezzik has a strong opinion, since he wins more than he loses, and we've all seen it here, I trust Fezzik. So my gut feeling is we're moving more towards it being worth 2.5 or 3, Darnold, as opposed to 4. And again, Simeon, it's all relative, right? This is a guy that wasn't that bad with Denver, and I would make the case that when he wasn't good, he was pretty banged up. So if you're not a great quarterback and you're banged up, it's hard to perform in the NFL.
Excellent point.
All right, when we come back, you know, Jonas, since I gibbered and jabbered that whole time, you get to decide the next topic.
All right, when we come back, we're going to tell you about a surprise in the NFL. That's coming up next here. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, some stats that may surprise you regarding two NFL quarterbacks.
Thanks for joining us. Each day, each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. You can listen to 200 Fox Sports Radio stations, foxsportsradio.com, the iHeartRadio app, Sirius, or on demand podcast. Just search for RJ Bell. Right now on the strip, it's 91 degrees. You know you're in Vegas if you walk outside, it's 91. And your buddy turns and goes, man, it's cool today, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's true. The neon is chugging.
So, RJ, we were talking last segment about Sam Darnold being out for Monday night's game and several weeks after coming down with mono, that announced by his head coach, Adam Gase, earlier today. His backup is Trevor Siemian. We know Trevor Siemian has had some success when he was with the Denver Broncos, but is there a significant difference, as you guys see it?
Statistically.
Yeah, statistically, between Sam Darnold and Trevor Siemian?
Well, listen, I know that it might be old-fashioned to care about things like objective stats. Now, the math guys with their green eye shades and their calculators are going to say, well, you know, actually, those are counting stats. It's like, okay, well, let's stick with the stats that are not counting stats. So, Brad, you've got the numbers. So let's go with Darnold first, because he's clearly so much better. All right, what's their career completion percentage?
Darnold's 59%.
Okay, so that's got to be higher.
No, Simeon, 59%.
Okay, now touchdowns are how you win games. So if we just look at, I don't know if you can tell, we know these answers ahead of time. If you just look at those touchdowns, and let's look at the margin, touchdowns over interceptions, a plus or minus. Plus means more touchdowns. So Darnold.
Plus three.
That's good. Oh, well, not really. Simeon.
Plus six.
Ooh. Okay, now, last thing. We can sit here and kind of struggle, but some math guys came up with the quarterback rating, or the passer rating, as they call it. All right, so I'm sure Darnold's much better. So Darnold.
78.
Okay. Simeon.
80.
80. Okay. So I would say this is I would say we are not judging Darnold's future. We're judging Darnold today. And today, I'm not sure that he's any better than Trevor Siemian. And the fact the line moved 4 points seems wholly an overreaction. Fezzik, our NFL expert, says 2, and personally, that might be too much.
RJ, Antonio Brown is now a member of the New England Patriots, according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. The Patriots have heard nothing from the NFL suggesting that Brown shouldn't be allowed to play on Sunday against the Dolphins. So what do you make of the latest Antonio Brown developments?
I thought Rappaport was reporting that he was with the Patriots. I'm like, I knew that. But you're reporting that the Patriots have not heard anything.
They have not heard anything.
Yeah. So listen, I got to give credit. And I actually did text Colin last night and I said, I don't know how many of you guys heard his first segment yesterday. And it was, to me, one of the great segments of the year by anybody. Why? He talked about what he wasn't going to talk about and why. And he, you know, I don't want to paraphrase it because he did such a good job with it, but it was generally, I'm not a legal expert. It was generally, I don't know the facts. You know, let's wait and see. What we all know is any good person or even non-horrible person doesn't want abuse of anybody, man, woman, whatever. And obviously women have been on the receiving end of that for men more than vice versa. So I get it, right? It's totally something to be cognizant of. Just at the same time, we don't want innocent people to suffer, right? It's all very simple stuff until you get the facts. There's one thing I think that's not simple, because I've listened to a lot of the feedback on this, and it's kind of weird, right? Because the event happened, and then you can react to that, or at least in this case, the story broke, or both, you can react to the reaction, right? And that's what I'm doing for a moment now, is reacting to the reaction. And here's what I see. I see almost everyone who's talking about it being kind of contradictory. And what I would ask you to think about is, are you like this? Because there's usually two camps. There's the law and order. It's like, someone did something wrong, put him in jail, solitary confinement. I don't care. He shouldn't have done something wrong, right? Okay, you've got that group. And then you've got the, hey, his childhood was tough. He didn't, blah, his mom wasn't there, blah. So you can't blame him, blah. Okay, now, obviously, I'm doing a little caricatures of these extremes, but really not that much in often the case. Wherever you fit on the spectrum, and let's start with the rough and tumble guy, the guy that's saying, let's really make him pay if someone breaks the law. You would think that person would be very, very liberal when it came to the rights of the accused. Because if you're going to make them pay big time if they did it, you better make sure they're innocent until they're proven guilty. And you better make sure when they get out of prison that they have the right to rebuild their lives, the chance, the right. And on the other side, if you're like all kind of like touchy, as in you can't really blame anybody, then it strikes me that when it comes to, I guess it doesn't make sense to be so worried about the rights of the prisoner, because he's not really a prisoner because he only goes to jail for 6 months. you know, he's a prisoner, but not to the same degree. So it's like, I guess the way I'm saying it is the more consequence you think there should be for doing wrong, the more you should make sure only people who did wrong go to prison. And that once they're out, they've already paid their debt. And to me, it feels like if you say Brown shouldn't be, you know, innocent till proven guilty, some people get mad. It's usually the people who are like so rough and tumble about judging people and saying they should go to jail. It's like, yeah, if so, maybe be rough on them, but let's make sure that they don't suffer until we know they did it. So, you know, it's just a theory or just me observing things, but I really do believe the more that you want someone to suffer in jail, the more likely or the more you should care about them not suffering unfairly, either before or after. And under that theory, the idea of the Patriots, the guy, there's been nothing proven at this point. The idea that the Patriots are getting heat for having him practice, I'm not sure if you don't let him practice, you don't let him play, that doesn't seem fair. Now, the paradox is, and the last point of this, is that the NFL has a brand to consider. So it's not always about fairness with a company. Really, this is a business, the NFL. And all
big business.
Yeah, but all the owners are all in the same business. They're competing against each other, but they're all collecting that money and divvying it up. So they're competitive, but they're also on the same team in the way that matters the most. And to me, I think the situation where you're looking at the Patriots and saying, oh, they're doing wrong, I just don't understand how that's fair. But I do see the point on the business side that if the NFL does a preliminary investigation, and let's say they figure there's an 80% chance he's guilty, that's their estimate. What do you do now? Because 80% doesn't put you in jail. 80% would give a civil verdict. But do you want to punish someone that there's a 1 in 5 chance that they didn't do it? But do you want an 80% chance that you have, you know, someone that committed sexual assault playing for your league? And before he pays his due, because in theory, once he pays the price, he's supposed to have a chance to make his life right again. And then the last question is, if there is no criminal case, even if he's found guilty in civil court, once he pays the check, he's paid his due. That's the due in that case. In civil court, it's about money. So to me, it's interesting. It's confusing, but I do feel strongly that the harder the penalty is, the more careful we should be. Only people guilty have to suffer it. In just 1 minute, Brad Powers is going to go through and give you what you need to know about the 3 biggest college football games of the week.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
You know, there was a trend out, or not a trend, but a prop. Will the Dolphins go undefeated? So, or check
winless.
That. Winless. Yeah. Defeated every time. And the odds are actually surprisingly high. I've seen upwards of 6-7 to 1. I think there was 1-8 to 1. There's multiple places with the prop. Have you seen this, Brian?
Yep.
So what's the best number you've seen?
8 to 1 is what I saw.
Yeah.
Earlier.
So that's funny because if you asked people, if you went on the street right now and said, and let's assume the line's upwards of 20 now with the Patriots, let's assume they get beat by 20 exactly. So clearly get beat. And you go on the street and you say, what's the chance of the Dolphins going winless? I'm thinking the average fan says 50-50,
yeah.
Maybe. It's just so interesting how these extreme results, and that's the thing, when you see there being a steady type of bias where the average fan just thinks so differently, that's the time to exploit that stuff as a handicapper because you know the fan isn't going to get it right. And in this case, I think the fans would be shocked. You can get 8 to 1 on the Dolphins going winless.
From the NFL to college football, we go here on Straight Outta Vegas. We're going to take a look at the 3 biggest games in the top 25 coming up this weekend on Fox. It is Arizona State at number 18, Michigan State. The Spartans are 14.5-point favorites.
Brad Powers, all the college knowledge.
So, RJ, we haven't used this phrase yet this season, I don't believe, but duct tape shoes handicappers.
You know what's funny? I used it a couple times just today on different hits.
Oh, did
and
you?
And I haven't. So here's the concept. You want to give it or you
no,
want
No, I want to hear you
All
give
right.
it.
If you go to the track, you know these people. They know their stuff pretty well. They're usually in their 50s, if not 60s and beyond, and they have duct tape on their shoes, their dress shoes. Why? Because they haven't been able to buy new ones because the way they win is outdated. They won 20 years ago. They're not winning anymore. And that's the thing about sports betting. The leagues change. The markets change. There's change. That's the only constant, as they say. And if you won with something 10 years ago, odds are it's hard to win with that same handicapping approach today.
So the duct tape shoes guys, RJ, I think they're on the right side here. That would be Michigan State minus 14.5.
So what's the concept that the duct tape shoe guys would use?
They're going to use revenge. Michigan State has revenge for last year, a game that they wilted late at night in the desert heat, 100 degrees.
So let's be clear, though. We do a podcast. Yeah. We have this on podcast straight out of Vegas. Just search RJ Bell. Also, the Dream Preview. Hours of deep dive. Hours and hours. One of our cohorts had that handicap. What was his name?
Steve Fezzik.
Now, would you bring it up if he was here that you think this is outdated stuff?
No, I would.
All right. Just coincidentally, he's not
there's
here.
A greater chance I bring it up with him not here.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure to have the tape on this for him tomorrow.
Fair enough.
Go ahead.
Well, that was their thinking. Revenge for a late last-second loss against Arizona State. Here's my reasoning for liking Michigan State. It all comes down to the Michigan State offense. The expectation was Michigan State's offense was going to be much improved coming into the year. Wasn't a good week one performance, but last week we finally saw it. The light bulb went off. Michigan State's offense had their best performance in 5 years. So I think the market is not afraid to lay two touchdowns here with the Spartans. And remember,
what do you mean the market's not afraid to lay? Because that assumes most people are betting it and the line's going up.
It is going up. It was my line move prediction of the week. I said Michigan State a couple days ago, right here on Straight Out of Vegas, minus 13.5. That line would likely go up. It's gone up a full point already.
14.5.
Yes.
14's a key number.
Yeah.
So at this point, you're saying, if you're picking this, if you want to bet it, too late. You should have been listening to Tuesday Straight Out of Vegas, and the wisdom of Brad Powers would have got you down on Michigan State minus 13.5. But since you're only listening now, come Thursday, like a fair weather listener, we still love you, just not as much as the 5 day a week guys. You're saying the value prop of listening every day is gigantic.
Yes.
And you're also saying you're great.
Yes.
Welcome to Mirage, Mr. Papa Giorgio.
I think he's getting a little fool of himself, Jones.
Well, you guys mentioned duct tape on the shoe guy. Does super glue count? Because I had a pair of Steve Maddens back in the day that I just could not get rid of, and I used super glue. It worked, too.
You know something? It works for a while, but when the leather literally starts fraying, it's only duct tape.
It looks like a baseball mitt from the 30s. Yeah, it's not a good look. Guys, we have an SEC matchup coming up over the weekend on Saturday. Florida is at Kentucky, and the 9th-ranked Gators are an 8-point favorite.
And so I think a quarterback injury is the key story here. Kentucky's quarterback, Terry Wilson, suffered a knee injury last week. He's out for the season. His replacement, Sawyer Smith, good experienced quarterback, was a starter for multiple years at Troy. Better passer than Terry Wilson, but he's not as mobile as Terry Wilson, the starting quarterback for Kentucky. And that's a bad sign against the best pass rushing team so far in college football this season, Florida. 15 sacks in 2 games. That's why I lean with Florida here, minus the 8 points.
And then when we talked about this on the pod, it was one of the most interesting games because I said, how good is the new quarterback? How good is the injured quarterback? And your answer was?
Not much of a difference.
But somehow it's an example of style makes fights, style makes matchups in football. Whereas if you're playing a superior team and you're not a great offensive team, you want a mobile quarterback that might break one or two plays. If you have a more classic dropback passer, the chance of old school driving down the field isn't great. So you want the variety and the variance that comes with a mobile quarterback.
Absolutely.
Guys, the Cy-Hawk Bowl is on Fox Sports 1 on Saturday. 19th-ranked Iowa is at Iowa State, and the Hawkeyes are a 1.5-point favorite.
So the market has downgraded, in my opinion, Iowa State too much for a bad first week performance against an FCS school, RJ. And I see this year after year. the market overreacts to finals, whether they be losses against FCS schools or close wins. Iowa State had to go to double overtime to beat Northern Iowa. Who? Well, here's what Northern Iowa is. I went through the Jeff Sagarin power ratings. He's a famous guy, used to be a part of the BCS. And right now, Northern Iowa is rated higher than 33 teams at the FBS level. So
Sagarin, you trust,
yes,
trust
I do.
Those generally. And where are they ranked?
They're ranked right around 100.
So another Division I school around 100, it would be like, oh, they lost to a bad team. Right?
Yep.
But it wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, I've hardly heard of those guys.
Exactly.
And that's why when it's a and I always get this confused, FBS.
Versus FCS.
Whoever came up with that is not a marketing genius. Let's just say that. But I think losing to the smaller school, the unknown school, even if they're better than a better known school, boy, I tell you, people react to it.
They do. And in this case, there was an overreaction, therefore value Iowa State plus 2.5.
All right. So you, of all the three of these games, you like Michigan State earlier. The lines moved for the listeners that didn't listen. Kentucky, is there an opinion?
Yeah, lean on Florida.
All right. And then in this game, is it a lean or a like?
It's a like on Iowa State plus 2.5.
And like means you're betting it.
I have.
And that's at the current number.
Yep.
You'd bet it. All right, guys. When we come back, I'm going to handicap the NFL game, tonight's Thursday game. And I'm going to tell you the question. If you answer it, you know who to pick tonight.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Week 2 of the NFL kicks off a little over an hour and a half from now on the NFL Network. It is the Buccaneers at the Panthers right now on pregame.com. Carolina is a 7-point favorite.
Now, let's first talk about what is the number one factor in every Thursday night game. Every Thursday night game is who's home and who's road. Now, we talk about it all the time. Home field advantage in the NFL is worth about 3 points. It can vary. Green Bay's excellent at home. It's more. The Saints, more. Seattle, more. Typically, 3 points. Now, you also ask yourself how good the road team is. Some teams are better on the road than others. But if the rest is different, if it's only 3 days off, think about it. You play Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then you play again. There's all kind of factors, fatigue, how old the team is. But the biggest one probably is it's tough to prep. If NFL coaches spend 70 hours a week getting ready when they have 6 days off, I don't think they can spend 70 hours in 3 days, right? Just mathematically. So hopefully they're not like, you know, speed addicts, you know, like I'm not sleeping for 3 days. Maybe, but most don't. So to me, who has the big disadvantage if you have short prep time? The team that has more preparation to do because they have to travel and some of the time is traveling and some of the time's figuring out where the ice bucket is in the hotel room, right? We all know we're not as comfortable or in the hotel floor. We all know we're not as comfortable when we're in a new place. And yeah, this is, you know, these teams are familiar, but still, you're not as comfortable. You have that travel time. So we've got a data on this that's really eye-popping, right? Now, we're going to qualify it where the home team does a lot better, but we're going to say, let's look at home favorites. Why? Because this is the case where they're the better team. So the road team that has a disadvantage of time, they have to overcome being the lesser team in these cases when you have a home favorite. What's the numbers, Brad?
We're going all the way back throughout the entirety of the database. 30 years, RJ.
So we always want to get as much data as possible.
Yes.
So this is great. 30 years of Thursday night games. Now, we know they haven't had 30 years of Thursday night games where it's been this big TV spectacle. So prior to that, it was the Thanksgiving game.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So Thursday home favorites, about 150-game sample size, 62% against the spread.
Now, think about that. A professional batter that has mansions and yachts literally hits 55%. That's an absolute fact. In fact, if you're hitting more than 55%, you're making a mistake. You might be, how is that? Well, because you should bet more games. Meaning wherever your break point is of saying, okay, I'll bet this game, it's my sixth best game, I won't bet my seventh. Well, if you're hitting at 57%, including your sixth, you want to start betting your seventh and your eighth. Now, listen, this is like a fantasy problem. Don't think that's your problem, right? Almost for every one of you, even for pros, less games are better. If you just said, I'm going to focus on the games I'm most sure of, or if you're losing better like most are, you're betting less games, which means less losers. But even with pros, they tend to break even on their volume if they're lucky. And so, but in theory, if you're hitting 57%, you're not betting enough games. And I'm not talking about a week or two or even a season. Last season, and I'm RJ Bell, we're straight out of Vegas. Last season, my super contest team with Fez and Maddie Holt, $5,000 entry into the gold contest, hit 67% for the first, 15 weeks. And then the last 2 weeks, we had to be a little aggressive because we were behind a little bit to win it. So we made contrary plays, which is complicated, but 67% for 15 weeks. Am I 67%? No. I want to be 55. So don't get confused about how much you can win if you've been hot even for a couple NFL seasons, because you don't bet that many NFL games. Think about one NBA season is 82 games, right? Plus playoffs. Well, 16 times 3 is less than 82. So NFL, by definition, can fool you about how good you are. So be careful, right? If you're winning a lot, ask yourself, do you know more than most people about the NFL? Like, you're just so knowledgeable. Then maybe you got something. If you just think, hey, I don't need to know everything, I know what's important. No, you don't. You don't. You've gotten lucky, right? You might be a slight winner, but you're not 60-some percent, right? So to me, it's got to be Carolina or pass because of that trend. And again, that is 62% just blindly playing that. It's unbelievable. So what's the question, though, of the game? What's holding me back? I think the question is this. Is Cam Newton healthy? Because if he is, I like Carolina here, the trend, other things. Last week, they didn't win. You could say, oh, he put up some points, but started a little rusty. Remember, he didn't play much in the preseason. He didn't practice much later in the preseason. I don't know if he's healthy. And when there's such a big question, I know he's healthy enough to play, but he wasn't at Monday Night game last year where he was shot putting the ball too. He's tough. So to me, the question is how healthy Cam is. And I don't know. So I'm going to pass. If I had to play for pizza money, and guys, please understand, pizza money means money you don't care about. Right? You want to win, but literally you won't think about it the next day. I would go the over because I think there's a good chance Cam is mostly healthy. And I think that last week he was rusty in the first half, and it might make him not look as good as he seems. I think he might have got his performance depressed last week because he was rusty. So I like the over because Jameis Winston, again, as a guy who throws a lot of interceptions,
yeah.
The paradox with interceptions is the interceptions lead to scoring no matter what happens. Meaning, or I guess a guy that throws it downfield, it's either good for the offense or Jameis who takes chances. If it's an interception, it's good for the other team to score. So usually if you tell me there's going to be 7 interceptions in the game, I'm betting over automatically, right? Because most of the time, more interceptions lead to more scoring because it means the teams are being very aggressive. So Jonas, just as a fan, what's your gut feeling on tonight's game?
Carolina, because of what you said, short week. And also, Jameis Winston, I can't imagine he would come on to a short week on the road after throwing 3 picks. I mean, Carolina is still, a good defense. I just don't like his chances on a short week. Arians is the new coach there. They're trying to implement some new things, but he's making the same mistakes.
Yeah, and to me, you said contract year, but really, this was the fifth-year option. They're paying him like $20 million this year. I don't have the exact number. So you're right. There's another decision to make, but he's making a lot of money, Winston, this year.
If you missed any of today's show, including a look ahead to college football and the NFL, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We are straight out of Vegas. Back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!